Of all the Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham is the most mysterious to me and was always the most mysterious to me. I understood Noah. Noah was the great hero who built the ark, saved humanity and the animals for future generations. He built the ark when people were making fun of him. I understood Moses. Moses was the guy who came and set the people free, who proclaimed the signs of God and the powers of God and led the people through the wilderness. But Abraham is mystifying to me. I did not understand Abraham. Why is Abraham important? Why is it that Abraham is considered the father of many faiths, not only the father of Judaism, but of Christianity and following even the Muslim faith? We're all in this branch called the Abrahamic faith. Abrahamic faiths, I should say. After all, Abraham was just chosen. Noah was chosen because he was more virtuous, because he was said to be better than anyone else that lived in the land, and that's why he and his family were chosen. Moses, perhaps because of his unique situation, having been raised as an Egyptian, he was sent back. But it just says Abraham was just a guy living in Ur, didn't have a family, just had a wife. And he was just picked out, told to move with everything he had to a new place, and that God would make from him a nation. Perhaps this story, though, qualifies him with a higher standing, or at least should. The story is troubling. The binding of Isaac. Kind of a troubling image of God. What kind of God would make somebody sacrifice their child? Not just any child, their only child. Not just any only child, but the child that God himself promised Abraham and Sarah, that through this person, Isaac, lay the promise, this grand promise of a nation as numerous as the stars. And yet, God wants Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And there's this notion of, does God really want us to abuse our children? Does God want to take us through such a game just to test us? What's going on here? Is this simply blind faith, or is there more going on here than meets the eye? Abraham was a better man than I would not be able to cart up a child of mine on a mountaintop and even threaten and even go through the motions of doing this, and none of us here would. Abraham goes through the motions, saying that God will provide when his son asks him, where's the animal? Shouldn't there be an animal here? God will provide. God will provide is the answer he gives. Why can he do this? How can he do this? Perhaps it is that Abraham knows God better than anyone else. Perhaps that is why he is considered such a great character of the Old Testament. Perhaps because of his great faith. Perhaps also it's because of what he's been through with God. This isn't the first time that God has talked to Abraham, not in the slightest. Built up through years of conversation, of prayer, of struggle, Abraham and God have built up a relationship that is inseparable, that is true trust, that is true faith. It would seem that Abraham has no good options here. He could choose to disobey out of love for his son. That's not very good. He could choose to go through with God, with what God told him to do, And yet that wouldn't be very good because then he's killing his son. The son that was promised him for so many years. No good option. No good option. Yet he, despite no good options, still trusts God. How many times have we been in similar circumstances where it doesn't seem that we have very many good options in life? What do we do then? Do we make a bad decision? Do we choose the wrong path? Do we choose the lesser of two evils rather than trusting in God? How many times has that happened? Where will we be when we are faced with that crossroads? This is the defining character of Abraham here in this story. I don't so much believe that God was playing some sort of game, that God was testing him. I believe that life tests us, tests all of us. And if we are in relationship with God, if we are in relationship with each other, there will be tests along the road, difficulties along the road, times in our life when there doesn't seem to be a good way out, a good choice, a good option. But what will we choose? What would be our defining characteristic in those moments? Perhaps it's also good to consider that for Abraham, the promise that he really cared about has been fulfilled. Why would he care, once he's not around, that a nation will be built from his generations? It might feel good to know that during life, but it really doesn't make a difference while Abraham is alive to know that someday a mighty nation will be descended from you. It's good to know, but does it really make a difference in the here and now? For him, his promise is right here in his arms, Isaac, a son in his old age. Joy filled them. Him and his wife's hearts, looking into his son's eyes. Maybe even laughter. So what is Abraham's stake in this generational thing? Well, it's good to remember that God has a stake in this as well. God has a stake in what becomes of Isaac. Isaac, who will have 12 sons and who will become the 12 tribes of Israel, who will become the mighty nation of Israel one day. God risks that Abraham would do this. God is putting himself out there as well. God is risking that Abraham might actually do this, might actually go through this. Abraham knows that this doesn't make sense out of what he knows of God. First of all, Yahweh, God, the God of the Old Testament, specifically outlaws child sacrifices, which were not uncommon in other religious movements and other gods. Other followers of other gods did that sort of thing. Abraham knew that wasn't the case. That's why one of the reasons why he felt as if he could go through it. Excuse me. We ought to know the character of God. We ought to know that God is compassionate. God is caring. We ought to be able to trust in that. Abraham knew that there would be another option presented because that is not God's character. And God does risk things by putting faith in us, by putting faith in Abraham. By putting Jesus on this earth, God risks a great deal. Jesus Christ. God's only begotten Son from God himself. God risked having Jesus be tempted by the devil in the wilderness for those 40 days. God risked having Jesus in the garden being tempted not to go through with the crucifixion somehow. It was a risk. But God had faith in Jesus. Jesus came through. God risked so much for us to reach us. So much for us to get to know him. Risk it all. We don't have to make that big of risk. We don't have to do what Abraham did. We don't have to offer burnt sacrifices anymore. We don't have to offer something from ourselves like our only child. God does ask something. God still puts faith and trust and still risk by putting faith and trust in us, because after all, we could make the wrong decisions. We could go stray in the paths that were designed for us. So which way will we go? God does not coerce us. God does not control us like puppets. We have the free will. Which way will we go? Will we choose the way of faith, the way of God, trusting in God's faithfulness and God's goodness? Even at times when it doesn't seem there is very good options for us, do we trust that God will provide for us? That is the true lesson of this story. And may it bear seeds in our lives. Let's rise and sing in praise of the good news today.